"Oh," said Mark, with some surprise. "It was all nonsense. The NIC would have had the wood in any case. They had powers to compel a sale." "What an extraordinary thing. I was given to understand they were going to Cambridge if we didn't sell." Hengist sniffed loudly. "Not a word of truth in it. As to its being an extraordinary thing, that depends on what you mean. There's nothing extraordinary in the fellows of Bracton talking all afternoon about an unreal issue. And there's nothing extraordinary in the fact that the NICE should wish, if possible, to hand over to Bracton the odium of turning the heart of England into a cross between an abortive American hotel and a glorified gasworks. The only real puzzle is why the NICE should want that bit of land. I suppose we shall find out as things go on. Or you may. I shan't." "Oh?" said Mark, interrogatively. "I've had enough of it," said Hengist, lowering his voice. "I'm leaving tonight. I don't know what you were doing at Bracton, but if it was any good, I'd advise you to go back and stick to it."
"Really?" said Mark. "Why do you say that?"
"Well, it doesn't matter for an old fellow like me," said Hengist, "but they could play the devil with you. Of course, it all depends on what a man likes."
"As a matter of fact," said Mark, "I haven't fully made up my mind."
He had been taught to regard Hengist as a warped reactionary. "I don't even know yet what my job would be if I stayed." "What's your subject?"
"Sociology."
"Ah," said Hengist. "In that case, I can soon point you out the man you'd be under, a fellow called Steele, over there by the window, do you see?"
"Perhaps you could introduce me."
"You're determined to stay, then?"
"Well, I suppose I ought at least to see him."
"All right," said Hengist. "No business of mine." Then he added in a louder voice, "Steele!" Steele turned round. He was a tall, unsmiling man with that kind of face which, though long and horse-like, has nevertheless rather thick and pouting lips.
"This is Studdock," said Hengist, "the new man for your department."
Then he turned away.
"Oh," said Steele, then after a pause, "did he say my department?"
"Well, that's what he said," replied Mark, with an attempt at a smile, "but perhaps he's got it wrong. I'm supposed to be a sociologist, if that throws any light on it."
"Well, I'm H.D. for sociology, all right," said Steele, "but this is the first I've heard about you. Who told you you were to be there?"
"Well, as a matter of fact," said Mark, "the whole thing is rather vague. I've just had a talk with the deputy director, but we didn't actually go into any details."
"Well, how did you manage to see him?"
"Lord Featherstone introduced me."
Steele whistled.
"I say, Cosser," he called out to a freckle-faced man who was passing by, "listen to this. Featherstone has just unloaded this chap on our department, taking him straight to the D.D.